So this evening, in our reading, our first reading here, Peter and John were standing before the full Sanhedrin, the Jewish combination, you could say, of Congress and the Supreme Court. So what was their crime? They healed a man who was crippled from birth. That was their crime. Now, just a little digression about this person who was healed. So it begins in Acts chapter 3, and Peter and John were going up into the temple to pray, and this man who had been there for years, and I'm sure he had a tin cup, you know, and he had a little coin in there, a little shekel, and probably knocked it back and forth to grab people's attention as they walked in, you know, we're going to pray to the Lord, we'll remember the poor. And I just thought, you know, how many times did Jesus walk by that man and did not heal him? He spent so much time in Jerusalem, going to the temple. And I think it was because Jesus wanted Peter and John to heal this man. And why didn't, and therefore he wanted Peter to be the instruments, John and Peter, to cure him. He wanted to work through them as Jesus wants to work through each one of us as well. So how did Peter heal this man? The first thing it says in this text that he saw him. So important. He stopped and saw him. That is the first step in healing anyone, our own healing, to stop and see the other. So much healing happens when we stop and focus on that person in front of me. To heal, we have to see another's pain. So often we can go through life and we just don't notice it. Because why? Because we have pain too. And we tend to focus on our own pain before we focus on others' pain. How important it is to really see people, understand them, to listen. Then Peter explained he had no money, but he had something else. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise and walk. So what's in a name? The concept and reality of the name of God is very, very rich in the Old Testament. Remember when Moses went to see that burning bush and was talking to God and asked, well, what is your name? So God's name has virtually the same attributes of God himself. So revealing to Moses his name, Exodus chapter 3, I am who am, God is revealing that he is and always has been and always will be. And then later in Israel's history, God will make his name dwell in the temple, which is virtually the same as saying as God, his own presence, inhabits the temple. In this passage from Acts, we are seeing that Jesus Christ of Nazareth has become God's name, the expression of his power and presence. And then here's some lines from this first reading again. It was in the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name, this man stands before you. They could not deny that. And there is no salvation, Peter would go on, there is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven by which we are saved. So the power of this name is such, when revered and honored, when we pronounce his name in a blasphemous way, it brings tremendous misfortune to our lives. We have to honor the name of God. Honor the name of Jesus. Remember, like even in Mass, when we pronounce the name of Jesus Christ, we should be bowing our head. We bow our head as in reverence to our Lord Jesus Christ. How important it is to honor his name. To say the name of Jesus with an open and loving heart and a joyful tongue is tantamount to receiving in one's person the whole of God's work of salvation, since the name evokes the person of Jesus. So when we honor the name of Jesus, when we call upon his name, Jesus, Son of David, even have mercy on me. Jesus, my rock and my salvation. And beautiful songs. There's one song that I really love, the beautiful name of Jesus. When we honor the name of Jesus, then his heart then comes into our hearts. Our hearts become more and more like his heart. So, beloved St. Catherine of Siena, beloved St. Catherine, in 1370, so it goes back a little bit, when she was 23 years old, Jesus answered one of her most fervent prayers. She had been asking the Lord Jesus if he would give her his very heart. Give me your heart. So one day, while she was praying, she received so many visions from the Lord. She did not know how to read and write, but the Lord taught her. It's a beautiful, beautiful story as well in that. But while she was praying, create a clean heart in me, O God, and renew in me a steadfast spirit, Jesus appeared to her. And Jesus presented himself to her, and this is pretty cool. He opened her left side, took out her heart. She kept on living. And that was it. That was the vision. And then she had a confessor. His name was Blessed Raymond. And so she went to Blessed Raymond and said, I had this vision. She would talk about her visions to him. He said, Jesus came to me and took my heart out. I don't have a heart anymore. And he just kind of chuckled. What are you talking about? You can't live without a heart. You got your heart. No, no, no. He took my heart out. So some days later, Jesus returned to Catherine, again in the vision, and Blessed Raymond reports this because she told him. So it says, she suddenly saw herself surrounded by a light from heaven, and amidst this light, the Savior appeared to her bearing in his sacred hands a scarlet, red, and radiant fire. Our Lord approached her, opened anew her left side, and placed in her heart, in her side, his very heart. Here you go. And it says that when she passed away, when she died, there was a scar in the place of her heart where Jesus opened it up. It says there, from that point on, St. Catherine repeatedly speaks of being on fire with his love. She told Blessed Raymond, so intense is the fire that burns within me that mere material flame seems cold, dead thing by comparison, fit to freeze rather than to warm a person. So beautiful. For Catherine, the heart of Christ is ablaze. It is truly the shepherd's heart. So we are all children of the Father. That is our reality. Jesus is our brother and our Savior and our shepherd. He calls us by name, and our names are written in God the Father's heart. And strong, we are strong because Christ is our shepherd. So let us today in a special way, and we receive Holy Communion, to ask the Lord to give us more of a portion of his heart. Our hearts are called to grandeur. And St. Catherine reminds us, do not be satisfied with little things because God wants great things. And finally, she said, if you are what you should be, you will set the whole world ablaze.